Someone's got a birthday coming up.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. The $787 billion American Recovery and Reinvestment Act turns one tomorrow. And the Obama administration is hitting the road to tout its benefits. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson is with us live from our New York bureau with more on that story. Good morning, Jeremy.
Morning, Steve.
President's off talking about green jobs today, and Vice President Biden off to job-starved Michigan. I mean, cabinet secretaries are off and hitting the road. What's going on here?
Well, the short answer is recent polling suggests a majority of Americans don't like the stimulus, and we're 9 months away from the midterm elections. It is the administration's biggest legislative victory so far, so it's already, as you know, becoming a big issue in the run-up to the elections. Republicans saying it hasn't worked and is increasing the deficit. And Democrats saying it pulled us back from the brink of economic collapse and is helping to save and create jobs.
Yeah, but Jeremy, what are we going to hear from the administration that we haven't already heard?
Probably not a whole lot of substance, Steve. They'll be highlighting individual projects that are being funded by the stimulus. This Health and Human Services Secretary, Kathleen Sebelius, will be outside of Atlanta today at a medical center that got stimulus money. Remember, about a third of the stimulus was federal grants like that one. The rest was tax cuts and stuff like unemployment benefits. And the funny thing is, even though the polling suggests that the stimulus itself is not popular, those individual components do appear to be popular. So the administration will need to convince the public that the stimulus is simply a sum of its popular parts.
Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson in New York. Jeremy, thanks.
Thank you.
Toyota's seen a drop in sales in the wake of millions of recalled cars and trucks. Now word, the company's thinking about stopping production for a couple of weeks at two of its American plants. On to the numbers. Most Asian markets were closed today for the Lunar New Year, but in Japan, the Nikkei added 0.2%. European markets mixed right now, although the FTSE's up about 0.5%. Wall Street starts the week ahead. The Dow closed Friday at 10,099. Kraft Foods today said fourth quarter profits more than tripled, thanks to strong business in developing markets. The Federal Communications Commission has given a boost to those who want to start a tribal radio station. It's issued a rule that gives Native Americans preference over other applicants. Critics say the rule is unfair. From Phoenix, Peter O'Dowd reports.
Of the more than 13,000 radio stations licensed in the U.S., a mere 41 belong to Native American communities. So for those who live on reservations, reliable information can be hard to come by. Just ask Gail Houses from the San Carlos Apache tribe in eastern Arizona.
They want language classes, they want the weather, the local news, they also want the national news.
Houses is opening the tribe's new FM station KYAY, and more tribal stations are likely to pop up now that the FCC has essentially guaranteed radio licenses for Native American applicants. FCC Commissioner Michael Kopp says that will meet his agency's obligation to make radio accessible to everyone.
When it came to Indian country, we weren't doing that, so now we're going to give a priority.
Of course, there is opposition. Chris Imlay is a communications lawyer in Maryland.
They have to be careful about how they go about policies that prefer minority applicants over non-minority applicants.
Imlay says the court has overturned previous FCC attempts to give preference to minorities. In Phoenix, I'm Peter O'Dowd from Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Microsoft, offering cloud computing for businesses with solutions for managing the transition to the cloud while managing costs for customers at Microsoft.com/cloud services.
Let's say you're getting on an airplane today. Well, the odds are improving. You're going to have wireless internet on your flight. But as Andrea Bernstein of member station WNYC reports, business travelers are still encountering a bumpy connection.
When you have Wi-Fi on a plane, you might try to use an internet service to place a call like this one.
My name is Abby Lunardini, and I'm the director of corporate communications at Virgin America. And we're currently over Kansas City, flying at 34,443 feet.
Last spring, Virgin America began offering Wi-Fi on all its flights. AirTran does the same. American and Delta have about half their fleets Wi-Fi enabled. Lunardini says offering Wi-Fi makes good business sense.
Last year, there really was a softening in business travel traffic, and we actually didn't see that as much.
Travel agents say they're also seeing a demand. Blake Fleetwood says in the last several months, his business clients have started to change how they fly.
During the working hours, they want to be in touch. Now that there's Wi-Fi on planes, they're taking less and less red-eye flights.
And despite the adage that planes are a passenger's last sanctuary from a wired world,
pretty much they all want Wi-Fi. I would say 9 out of 10 of them want Wi-Fi.
Brian Solon does. He manages a team of 27 advertising salespeople for a major internet company. During a United flight from L.A. to New York, he was constantly IMing his team, though he did complain about the connection.
It's very slow, and you know, it's like waiting for dial-up without the initial beeps, right?
There's another way he used Wi-Fi to stay in touch with those on the ground.
I've been able to use video camera with my wife and daughter at home.
Oh, yeah. Even though Virgin America's Lunardini and I did just that, you're not really supposed to video chat. We broke the rules. In fact, the airlines try to block voice applications.
And that is primarily to preserve the cabin environment and to keep a kind of quiet, restful cabin environment.
Passengers want access to email, Google, and Twitter, but they like quiet planes, too.
About 72% of them would like to keep it that way.
So you won't have to worry about your neighbor doing an in-flight interview with a radio reporter. In New York, I'm Andrea Bernstein for Marketplace.
And finally, the economic downturn's taken cash out of a lot of pockets, so some cities are printing their own. SmartMoney.com reports they're popping up all over the place currencies. The idea is to get locals to spend money in their own neighborhoods. For example, in one part of Detroit, there's the Cheer, which features a naked Greco-Roman superhero guarding over the Motor City. Printing money is legal as long as it doesn't look like U.S. currency, and I'm thinking, in Detroit's case, there's no danger in that. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. Catch us online at Marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.